This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon. Many people in Zimbabwe had believed that with some luck, they might have a new power-sharing government by this weekend, but it was not to be. Although opposition leader Morgan Tsvangirai said that he remains committed to last month's agreement with President Robert Mugabe, Mr. Tsvangirai sounded downbeat when he left the talks last night.
Regrettably, after 4 days of intense negotiations, we have failed to agree on the first key issue, which is the allocation of ministerial portfolios, and therefore a deadlock has been declared.
The mediator says discussions will continue, but Zimbabweans may not be so hopeful. In the meantime, their nation continues in economic meltdown. The statistics are alarming. 231% inflation rate, and that's million with an M. More than half of Zimbabwe's people reportedly will need food aid by next year, all in a country with an 80% unemployment rate. NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton joins us. Ophebia, thanks very much for being with us.
Always a pleasure.
And what's this latest problem seem to be with putting a government together?
In a way, it's the same old problem, Scott. Who gets which ministries? How to divvy up those important cabinet portfolios? A week ago, President Robert Mugabe gave most of the key jobs to his own allies. And the main opposition leader, Morgan Tsvangirai, who you just heard, said, heck no, that's not in the spirit of the deal. And that he also wanted his party to be in charge of crucial ministries. And these were talking about who is going to control the security forces, finance in a country, as you said, in economic meltdown, foreign affairs, those sorts of issues. And they haven't been able to agree.
What's President Mugabe's...
Well, he was a little bit more upbeat than Morgan Tsvangirai. He said the talks had gone well, but in the wrong direction, which I suppose means he didn't get the ministries that he was hoping for. And then the third member of this power-sharing deal, Arthur Mutambara, he's the minor breakaway opposition leader, is blaming both Tsvangirai and Mugabe. He said that he had no option but to follow these two men who had failed to agree, and that he saw what he called partisanship and bankrupt ambition disrupting the discourse. So it's not looking very good, Scott.
Well, how do they mediate a way out of this? Because you do have a whole country hoping and watching.
Well, they've decided that what they want to do is perhaps broaden the mediation. And Morgan Tsvangirai, the opposition leader, is calling on the Southern African Development Community, which organized the mediation in the first place, and the African Union to weigh in, to intervene. Monday, SADC, the Southern African Development Community, the security arm of it, is holding a meeting in Swaziland, and it looks as if this Zimbabwe issue is going to be absolutely number one. But whether it will resolve the issue of this power-sharing cabinet is another thing altogether, because it's the Zimbabweans who have to agree that.
Well, Fabia, you know, we've talked about a disagreement over power sharing, but help us understand what it's like to live in Zimbabwe at the moment with an 80% unemployment rate and an inflation rate that can scarcely be imagined.
Mini hell, Scott, if you're the average Zimbabwean. This is a life of making lines for everything, for going to the bank to withdraw money that may not even buy a loaf of bread, yet alone mealy meal, which is the main cornmeal staple that makes up the Zimbabwean diet. They have to queue for everything, and the supermarkets are anyway half empty. So you see, when you go to Harare and other parts of the country, people running because they see a line forming. When you ask them what's it for, often they don't know, but they say, well, if people are running, that means it's something useful. That is the reality for the ordinary Zimbabwean. It's not just a political crisis. It's an economic crisis and then a humanitarian crisis. So things are pretty desperate.
And those that can are trying to escape, I gather.
You bet. They are crossing Zimbabwe's borders into Zambia, Botswana, you name it, but especially into South Africa, because they see in South Africa a better life and the opportunity to work, to be able to send money home to help their families. But really, most Zimbabweans just want their political leaders to agree so that they can have a better life back home.
NPR's Ophebia Quist-Arkton, thanks so much.
Thank you, Scott.